All right, good evening. Good to see all of you here. I trust that you had a good day in the Lord. I'm sure you're tired. I hope it's a good kind of tired. Being tired of the work of the Lord. He'll renew our strength if we wait upon Him. We're going to continue looking at following Christ and fishing for men. If you would, let's go ahead and take our Bibles and let's go over to Luke real quick. Luke. Last Wednesday, we looked at heaven being a real place. Tonight, we're going to look a little bit at the Word of God and see what it says about hell, because hell is just as real as heaven. So let's look in Luke 16. Hopefully when we get done here, we'll understand that every man is created for eternity. It will spend eternity somewhere. There is no option other than the two that's laid out in Scripture, heaven or hell. That's the only two that we'll find, biblically speaking. Luke 16 and verse 23, we'll just start there and then talk a little bit here about some different things. Luke 16, 23, it says, in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham far off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Now, as we look at this here, that hell is a place and that it's just as real as we are right now. Heaven's real. Hell is real. It's the realest place. The Word of God describes to us, and we're going to look at it as it's presented in the Word of God. It's not a place where there'll be a party happening. Unfortunately, there are some folks that believe, well, I get there. This place called hell is going to have one big long party. Not according to Scripture. Not according to Scripture. When we get to heaven, we'll have one long day of worship. We're going to worship a Savior who is worthy of that worship. So as we dig into this and look through it and ferret through it, I'm going to try to, as quick as I can, get to some things that will help us. I know you're tired. Some of you have been here since early this morning, since 5 this morning. But we're going to get in here and get done here so we can get to choir and get home and rest our bodies a little bit. I'm coming more and more to understand why the Lord said to rest our bodies. It is important because if we rest our bodies, if we rest our mind, we're able to be more aware of the wiles of the devil. And this busyness that the devil has got us into, it's a tool. He gets us so busy that we can't have time for each other, time for the Word of God, time for God Himself many times. You know as well as I do, the day gets to going pretty fast if we're not careful. Before long, we're deep into the day and just slap wore out. Have you ever been slap wore out? I tell you, you're done for. You're just there. So, testimony we have here about this rich man. In hell, he lifted his eyes. Now, as we read down, we're going to read 19 from verse number 19 down to 31. Now, I want you to pay close attention as I read. Follow along with me because I'm going to ask a few questions here about what we see. Luke 16, verse number 19. And there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that I may that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember, if thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come unto the place, this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let him hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And as we look here at this here portion of Scripture, I wonder if anybody picked up about any characteristics of this place called hell as we read this. This is a literal, true account of what God says took place in the life of a rich man. Number one, we can notice something about the rich man and the poor man. Their possessions had nothing to do with eternity. So don't get to thinking, well, I'm poor, don't have anything, I'm automatically going to heaven. Don't get thinking, well, I have all kind of goodies, I'm going to head on straight to hell, because that ain't how it works. That's not how it works. So your possessions that you have nothing to do with eternity. Scripture says, naked I came in this world, and I'm going to carry everything I got with me out. Not so. So your possessions does not determine who you are in Christ or who you are not in Christ. Because there is wealthy people in the Scriptures we study. Joseph of Arimathea, I believe, was a very wealthy man, was a man of means, and I believe he had trusted Christ as personal Lord and Savior. His testimony of doing what he did took boldness to go to Pilate and ask for his body. It was a time of uncertainty. You didn't know what was going to happen. Not at all. I believe Nicodemus, ruler, teacher, pretty well, man of pretty good means, I'm certain. What's the guy? The little guy climbed up the tree. What was his name? Yes, I knew y'all would know him. He was very well off. And he came to know Christ as a Savior. And then, of course, we know the testimony. He returned much of his goods back to where he got it because he got them falsely. So your position in Christ has nothing to do with your earthly material. Our position in Christ is what we've done with Jesus here on this earth. Whether we've accepted Him as our personal Lord and Savior, repentance toward God, faith in Christ, and then we have a home in heaven. But there's some characteristics that I noticed here in the Word of God in this place called hell. Has anybody got some that they saw as I read? What's one of them? Anybody know? Brother Bill? How many times did he mention that? I think it was four times. Well, torments are torment. I don't see no party in that. I was reading an article yesterday in the paper, Flaming Torch, and as I read this article, it talking about Joyce Joston, who was from New Zealand, and he had been tortured to death and hung and martyred for his faith in Christ. Because he would not denounce his faith in Christ. And they talked about some of these instruments they used to try to convince him that he did not need to believe in this Jesus. Something that they would put on your legs, and as they tightened it down, your kneecaps would come out at your ankles. That sounds pretty tormenting, you know. That was like a party to me. I remember a young man, I was probably 11 years old. I was playing with a hacky sack. Does anybody know what a hacky sack is? A little ball like that, full of beans or something, and you just kick it around, kick it around, kick it around. Well, I hyperextended my knee kicking that thing around. I was on a basketball court, and you know, some of the basketball courts sometimes, boy, your foot hits the right way, and boy, it'll lock up, and man, I hurt. I hurt bad. There wasn't no party in that. None. Some of you ladies have given birth. There ain't no party in that. So this torments. I mean, when you just think about what the God says here, it's talking about torments. Look over in Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Also notice that there was a place of great thirst. He was begging just for a drop of water. Matthew 13, verse number 49 and verse number 50. Brother Jim, you read that for us. Matthew 13, verse 49 and verse number 50. Again, I see no party. Welling, gnashing of teeth, a furnace of fire. Kind of reminds me of a story in the Old Testament about three Hebrew children. Some of you girls back there, y'all help me. What was their name? Those three Hebrew children? Shad. Yeah. They got cast into a furnace of fire, didn't they? What happened to the men that cast them in the furnace of fire? Some of you boys, help me out. Burn them up. You're only as young as you think you are, right? Brother Harry got it right on. They burned them up. The men that threw them in. A furnace of fire. This is how God describes this place called hell. It's a real place. It's a place of torment, a place of thirst, a place of wailing and gnashing. I was at a Greek funeral one time, and the priest come walking in with the incense as it walked up there, and they walked the casket out. They have the church right there inside the cemetery, usually, and they walked the casket out, made the walk down to where they was going to bury the person. They had to dug the grave out, and literally at that moment when they lifted the casket a little bit and he sprinkled some holy water down inside there, the mother of that person literally tore into the casket down inside the lid there, wailing and gnashing. No hope. No hope whatsoever. You know, this is how God describes hell. Look at Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25. We'll look at verse 41 and verse 46. Verse 41. Matthew 25. Verses 41 and 46. Brother Ray, will you read that for us?
Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, the curse, which is everlasting fire, preparing for the devil and his angels. Verse 46. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal.
Huh. I mean, that's pretty good adjectives right there, isn't it? That's this place. He's honest with us. It wasn't created for us. God tells us right here in His Word it was created for the devil and his angel. Christ died for all men. The Bible says, for the grace of God has appeared to all men. Men choose to reject Christ, their personal Lord and Savior. And by doing so, there's that second death. There is death. The death that we lose our life, and it's a separation of life and body. It's time when we go to rest. But there's a second death. And that second death is a separation from God for eternity. Complete. And there's only one place that you can be separated for God in eternity, and that's this place called hell. And he says, everlasting punishment. There's some folks that teach and denominations that believe that it's a consumption of the body immediately, like a immediate burning up of the body. It's gone. I mean, you know, that wouldn't be too bad. But that's not how God describes this place. He describes it in the same way he describes our time in heaven. Everlasting, eternal. And that's how it is. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews, it's appointed unto man once to die. God never meant for that second death. That's why he gave such a price to redeem men. It's appointed unto man once to die, but there's a second death that people will face because they reject the Lord Jesus Christ, their personal Lord and Savior. Let's look over in Luke 19. Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verse number 10. So he said, there where you just read Matthew, that it was created for the devil and his angels. Look what it says here, Luke 19, 10. Brother Bernie, you mind reading verse 10? That's his mission. That was his whole purpose. Why? Because the hell was created by God for the devil and his angels. So he sent the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, came to seek and to save that which is lost, so that they would not spend everlasting life in punishment. Look over in 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. This verse well known. I mention it all the time, but I want us to read it together. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9. Let's just read it all together on three. 1, 2, 3. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the will of God for mankind. That's why He was so willing to send His Son to die on the cross of Calvary. Because listen, He created hell. He knows how awful it is. He created heaven and earth and everything there. And guess what He said in Genesis? He looked about at what He saw and He said in Genesis, it's all good. Everything is good. All of it's good. And then the devil decided to go into rebellion. And God had to do something about that. And He created this here place called hell for the devil and his angels. And He came down in the garden, offered a lamb to show the sacrifice that should come. Sent His only begotten Son, the Lamb of God, to fulfill the atonement and redemption of mankind. All they have to do is turn to Him, accept Him, put their faith and trust in Him. He's not willing that any should perish. He'll move heaven and earth to get the gospel to those that are seeking. Matter of fact, He says it so well in Psalms chapter 19. He says that creation declares His glory. He says it in Romans. He says, Brother Jim, He says we're without what? An excuse. Because our very conscience says to us, there is a God. There is a heaven. There is a hell. And that we need Christ Jesus as our redemption. Amen. Look over in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter number 10. Verse Verse 13, Romans chapter 10. Verse number 13. We're going to read down to 15 together. I'll read 13, we all read 14 together, and I'll read 15 by myself. So let's do that, so we all follow along. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him on whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good... Oh, I missed it. Glad tidings of good things. Took the glasses off too soon. Like, whoa, where did that go? How are people not going to go to hell unless we follow this portion? God wants to use us, has a desire to use us so that we can spend time with folks, learning them and helping them and pointing them along the way, sharing the gospel so that the Holy Spirit of God can come along beside us and woo them unto repentance to the Lord Jesus Christ. We got to be conscious of the fact heaven is real. Hell is real. Jesus saves. And Him alone. No other way. And it is not a place of pardon. And we could have went on and on and studied more scripture and looked at other verses where Jesus Himself, now He said, I am the way, the truth. Now when He spoke of hell, He was speaking truth. He's not fooling around. He's not just, making up ghost stories so that He can, scare folks. He's speaking truth. Amen. And He wants us to understand, dear friend, that this is a real, real place. And the proof of this place of torment is given through us throughout Scripture. Matter of fact, I don't have this off the top of my head, but it'd be a good study is to go back and study the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ here on earth and see the ratio of how much He spoke on heaven, how much He spoke on hell. I almost want to say that it would probably be equal or greater on hell. I do. I almost want to say that. I'm not positive on that, so I won't stand here and say that I am, but I know that He spoke a lot about it. Said, unless ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. Shall likewise perish. And people, day by day, dear friend, minute by minute, go to this place of torment. We've got to be busy. You know what He told us there when we first started this lesson was what? Follow me. And I will make you fishers of men. How are we following now that we've been studying? Following the Lord. I mean, doing, in His footsteps and going through the place of life and going down this road of life, this journey that we're in with the Lord. Are we following like we should? Because if we're following, He's in the process of making us fishers of men. Making us. Well, you read of stories of old, of people that have been faithful soul winners, just reaching out with the gospel, sharing the Lord Jesus Christ with others and seeing them. There's no greater joy, dear friend, in the Christian life than seeing somebody come to know Christ as their Savior. There's no greater joy, dear friend, for me whenever I spend time out and passing out tracts and offering people opportunity. Just the other day, I was picking up some mulch over at the hardware store, and as I was there, the young lady was checking me out, and I told her I need to give her my phone number so we could get the tax exemption thing in there, and when it did, she said, oh, it's Lock Haven Baptist. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I'm a Seventh-day Baptist. I said, well, there is a meeting place down the road from us. They used to meet right down here at this church. When you go on Simpson Road, right there, the first church on the right, there's a Spanish church, Central Genesis or something like that. New Beginnings, I think, is what it is. I don't read Spanish very well, but I think that's what it is. It's something new beginning. They used to meet right there. We used to send a guy up in Palatka years ago, probably 2 years been there. He's passed on now, but we used to send him Bibles after Bibles after Bibles up there. He was part of that Seventh-day Baptist movement. And she said, oh, I couldn't come to church on a Sunday because I'm a Seventh-day Baptist. I said, well, you know, where are you meeting? She said, oh, we're not meeting nowhere now. I said, I do believe, dear ma'am, I do believe that if you come on a Sunday, I think God would forgive you. I think He would. She said, why? I said, because He commanded us in Scripture that we should forsake not the assembly of ourselves together. She said, that's in there. I said, yes, ma'am. We need to meet. We need to come together. See, you know, so we got to be conscious. I'm not saying it's a woman who wasn't saved because she was Seventh-day Baptist. I'm not saying that at all. Matter of fact, the more I study this Bible and look into it, look into the Old Testament and see it, you study out about the great whore. God's going to call them out of the great whore. Who's He calling out? Those that have trusted Him, that refuse to step out of that false religion. Don't think for a moment that you just being a Baptist is going to heaven because you're a Baptist.
Right.
Amen. Going to heaven because we're saved and trusted Christ, our personal Lord and Savior, and Him alone.
Amen.
John the Baptist didn't die on the cross of Calvary. Amen. He got beheaded. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. He was the atoning Lamb of God. There. So people are going there. They're going to this place of torment. We need to let them know. How shall they believe? They be told. We've got to be busy. Provision has been made by God Himself. Think about the provision that God provided for mankind just in the Garden of Eden. I mean, we get two chapters of Garden of Eden, and it's just like, wow. It's amazing. You get a little bit more information as you read on close to the flood. You realize in the Garden of Eden that they didn't even have to run around here sprinkling or watering things. God had a mist that come up out of the ground. Water. Just fruit galore, vegetables galore. I mean, all you vegans would have been in heaven. I mean, it was just amazing. Beautiful. That was the provision of God. Think about whenever the nation of Israel come out of Egypt. As they come out of Egypt and they needed some water, God said, go smite that rock. Water come out. Oh, we need some food. Quails come over. Landed. You ever try to grab a quail? I can't even get close. They scare me to death, Brother Mike, when I'm walking through the woods trying to get to my stand sometimes. Quails come flying up out of where it's giving me a heart attack. I'm like, wow. They came and sat down. They got so full of quail that God had to send them some manna from heaven. The provision of God. I'm telling you, God can provide and has provided. I think about in our own lives how God provides in such a wonderful way. Dear friend, and the most wonderful thing that God has ever done is provided salvation.
Amen.
So people don't have to go to this place of torment. This the provision has been made by God. Everything we should have suffered, Jesus Christ suffered for us.
Amen.
That's why hell is such an awful place. I mean, it's an awful, awful place. But it is sure real as I am standing here today. This evening, and as we look into this and we describe it, and we look through scriptures, and again, I could have went on more and more, but I'm reminded every day that hell lies at the end. It lies at the end. Listen to me. At the end of every Christless life, this is their stopping point for eternity. Oh, how sad. How sad. Jesus said, follow me, I will make you fishermen. Pastor, why in the world? We studied about heaven and hell the last 2 weeks because we've got to get a good understanding of what is facing people. I mean, what is out there before them? I mean, it is as real as it gets, dear friend. Torment. One characteristic I didn't even mention there about hell was, you know, Abraham said to him, remember in thy lifetime. Wow. They're going to have memory. But what does the Bible say about you and I? That one day, all the things that would break our heart, all the things that would cause tears to well up in our eyes, wipe away those tears, and our memory will be on the good things of God, the blessed things of God, the wonderful things of God. Then remember in thy lifetime. It just makes me think about the book of Acts, where the one man said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Can you imagine his memory in hell? I don't know that he didn't get saved later on. Lord, I hope so. Somebody watered, perhaps. I don't know. Can you imagine that memory? Almost I was a Christian. Almost. Thing about almost, it's not good enough. He saves to the uttermost. Father, we thank you. Lord, it's been a long day, but we've enjoyed it in you. We've enjoyed the fellowship one with another. Lord, as we continue to study this topic, this thought, these principles in the Word of God, following you, being fishers of men. Lord, I reflect on my own life, and I know I do a poor, poor job. But I ask you, God, to make me the fisher of men that I should be. Help me to follow you so that as I learn of you, I grow in compassion. I grow in concern. I grow in the faith. And as it increases in my life, may, Lord, I share that faith with others. Lord, find us faithful. Help us to finish our course. Finish our fight. Because it's well worth it. To know that just one more soul makes it into heaven. We love you. We thank you for this night. Thank you for such a wonderful day. Protect us. Keep us safe. Bring us back, Lord, to the next appointed time. In Jesus' name, amen.